Groucho Marx once famously said, never follow a kid or a dog. One of the most beautiful things to watch children. You know how much we all enjoy that. And it really brings us to the point of understanding the whole joy of the season and the reality that no matter how old we get, that's the way God looks at all of us. We still just remain little children in his sight. So thankfully, we can come to our Lord as children and expect goodness from him and grace. So we greet you with greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we will read a text taken from the Epistle to the Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we're going to read the last verses of that chapter, verses 35 through 39, where we read in the name of our Lord. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your great mercy and grace, in which you bless us. And we pray, Father, once again, that by your Spirit you would renew us in that confidence you have given us. As the day hastens, that the child of the manger who grew up to go to the cross rose from the dead, that he seated at your right side will return for us again. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word indeed is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. The events, of course, that we laud at Christmas have taken place. 2,000 years ago, God chose to save us. It is the most remarkable story that can ever be told. God chose to save us. Though we were fallen, though we were in darkness, God chose to save us. The reality of that message never ceases to stun that God chose to save us. It was at the time, as the scripture says, while we were yet sinning, while we were in darkness, while we had no idea really of what was going on, that God chose to save us. And ultimately, this is the point that we need to return to. When we come to the point of the celebration of Christmas, when we come to the point of understanding the nature of Advent, we are always brought back to this place. God chose to save us. Ultimately, that is the difference between life and death. The things that are played out on this earth are not the things that are different, that cause the difference between life and death. They are not the measure of life and death. The measure of life and death is found in the child in the manger who grows up to be our Savior. The measure of life and death is found in this one who goes to Calvary's cross. The measure of life and death is found in the one who rises from the dead and says, I am the resurrection and the life. And it's to this place that we constantly need to be brought. It isn't just at Christmas, it isn't just at Advent, it isn't just in any season of the year. But every day, every moment, we need to be brought to this point of realizing this reality, that we would have a confidence, a confidence. The scripture speaks about having confidence. As many of you know, I've taught tennis for years, and I coach tennis at Tech. One of the things that you have to do for your tennis players is you constantly have to tell them all the time. You have to be confident. You have to understand you need to be confident. Confidence is not a bad thing. Confidence is not arrogance. Confidence is the awareness of knowing that you have the ability to do something. And if you have the ability to do something, then for goodness sake, go out and do it. You know, the whole point of this is to not sit around and worry about it or let anxiety build. The whole point is to have confidence to go out and do this, to understand that you have this capability. This is the first thing that the author of the Hebrews talks about. Cast not away your confidence. He says, you need to understand, don't throw away your open access. You have open access to God. He says, don't throw that away. He says, you need to understand every day that God is with you, that God chose to save you. God chose to save you. That's a done deal. It isn't something that we have to sit around and fret about. The reality is that God chose to save us. The baby in the manger is for you and for me. He comes for this singular purpose. As a matter of fact, his name is not Jesus. I hate to shock you. His name is not Jesus. His name is actually in Hebrew, Yeshua. It's Joshua. Jesus is just the Greek form of the name. His name is Yeshua, and it means Savior. And he was so called that because he is told, Joseph is told, he will save his people from their sins. Confidence. We need to have confidence. We need to face every day with confidence. We need to understand the coming of Jesus the Christ and realize the sense of this so that we are confident, confident. Because your confidence, he says very clearly, he says, has great reward. You used to see this all the time in my tennis players. You have confidence. What happens? You win. That's what happens. You win. It's a simple type of formula. You confidently play your game that you know how to play, and what happens? Ha! You win. What's the sense of sitting around fretting about it all the time? The scripture says that we are to be confident, that we have an open access to God. Why? He says, because it has tremendous reward to it. It has tremendous reward. When we understand and we know by faith that God has saved us, then we recognize the nature of the promise and we live in the fullness of that confidence. We live confidently. We live a confident life. We are not to be cowed by the things of this world. We are not to sit around and question whether the fact of, is it possible that I could be saved? Not only is it possible that you could be saved, the salvation of the world has been worked through the child in the manger. He has grown up, and he has fulfilled his name. He has saved us. He has saved us. And with every day, that is how we live. We live by the power of that name. We live by the power of that salvation. Every day we understand and we know that things may change around us. We can't control a lot of the circumstances of this world. We can't figure out how things are going to be, what's going to happen, different sort of things that are going to occur. But one thing we can be sure of, God in Jesus Christ became flesh to save us. And he did it. He did it. So that we would have days like today. So that we could sit and enjoy a bunch of kids come up here and do a program and understand very clearly. What can we do about that? We can enjoy it. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do in church. We're supposed to enjoy it. We're supposed to enjoy church. I do this to people all the time. I don't understand it. We look like we're going to a funeral all the time when we come to church. It's like, well, who just died and why do we have to do this thing? Instead of understanding very clearly, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We have confidence. We have confidence because we know that Jesus the Christ gave his life for our sins. He gave his life for us to save us. And it's okay even to smile in church. It's okay to have a little bit of joy. It's okay to experience some gladness. Because we have confidence. We have confidence, and that's what he says. He says, for yet a little while, he's going to come back. He says he's going to come back. Not for a bunch of dour, unhappy people. No, he's not going to show up, you know, because everybody's sitting around. He's going to come back for the great joy that has been set before him. For the joy of our salvation, he's going to come back because he has prepared this marvelous celebration in which we are partakers even now in part, so that we would understand and we would realize this. That's why he says, the just person by faith will live. It's just as clearly, you've been justified. Well, how were we justified? By the blood of the child who rose up and died on the cross. Rose from the dead. We've been justified. We're justified. We're made to be just. God is not now up there counting our sins. As a matter of fact, God says very clearly that he doesn't even remember them anymore. He says, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. He says, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. And St. Paul writes very clearly, he says, now that Christ has reconciled us to God, not imputing our trespasses unto us, not imputing them. Impute is a nice accounting word. It means not laying them to someone's account, not making them accountable for them. Doesn't that make you smile just a little bit for once? Could we just smile? Could it be? Oh, man, I don't feel so bad about having to get up on Sunday morning and come to church because maybe there's a good reason for it. Maybe it's okay. Maybe it's okay to be happy. Did you ever wonder why we're losing our witness in the world? It's easy. It's easy to understand. Do you want to be us? Honest to goodness, do you think most people look at church people and say, wow, that's what I want to be? We look miserable. And it's no small wonder. Nobody wants to join in our misery. Misery may love company, but we don't like to hang out with it all the time. The reality of things is the joy of the Lord is our strength. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, on every Sunday, on every day, and every morning, every day that we get up, when breath comes to us, we understand very clearly that we are alive. We are living people for whom Jesus Christ shed his blood in order to make us pure and holy in his sight. And he is coming for us. He's coming for us. And that's why he says, that's why we live by faith. Now we live by faith. We're justified by faith. He says, but if somebody draws back from this, he says, I have no pleasure in that. He says, how can I have any pleasure in that? And why would we ever draw back from it? Why would we ever come to that point? When you coach, you constantly have to reinforce this idea to people. You have to get it through their head because the negative thoughts come in. They start to break down, and you've got to go out there and you've got to tell them, no, you've got to understand, you're capable. You have the great ability to do this. God has blessed you. He's given you gifts to do this thing. Go out and do it. You're a tremendous player. Do this. Constantly remember this. When you go out for the next point, you remember this. You are a great player. You have great capability. You have been blessed. The Savior of the world came and saved us. What more do we want? What more do we want to walk out every day knowing? Correct. That would be nothing. The reality is that God has done this work so that every day we can get up. So that every day we can have joy. So that the world can see and know that the Savior of the world has come. And he has fulfilled his purpose. He has saved us, his people, from our sins. And we all understand this because what happens is we start to look back and we start to say, you know, but man, I've really messed up a lot. You know, I really have goofed up in a lot of places and things like that. God surely can't overlook that. I always tell this story out of Acts 17 where Paul is on the Areopagus. He's on this great hill in Athens. And he tells him, these times of your ignorance, God winked at. That's what the King James reads. I love that word. I always tell him this story. When I was a kid, they made this mistake of giving us BB guns. You know, that was just the thing when we were kids, you know. We'd be out on the farm, went to this old farmhouse, shot all the glass out of the old farmhouse. You know, nobody had lived there for years. Don't think it's anything like that. It's just an old abandoned house. My dad came to me and he said, did you guys shoot that glass out of that old farmhouse? Before I could get a word out of my mouth, there was my Uncle Pete, the Marine sharpshooter. Uncle Pete looked at my dad and said, Rum, that was my dad's nickname. He says, there was just a terrible windstorm here the other night. He says, it blew out all the glass out of that farmhouse. Then he looked at me and he winked. Winked. These times of your ignorance, God winked at. These times of your ignorance, God winked at. The word means he overlooked them all. He overlooked them all. If we go back, what a foolish step that is to turn around and try to tell God, well, no, I'm a rotten sinner. You can't save me. You think God is listening to us? He looks at us and says, I don't even remember what you're talking about. Your sins and your iniquities, I remember no more. Jesus, Joshua, came to save us from our sin. He came to deliver us so that now we would have this confidence. And that's why he writes, we're not of those that draw back unto destruction. He says, we don't go back into that. He says, as a matter of fact, we believe to the saving of the soul. 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 We come to this point where faith becomes a reality and we understand day in and day out. When we get up Christmas morning, we always remember that, you know, what it's like when you're a kid and get up Christmas morning, you know, and you can't wait to get out there and see what you got and all that kind of stuff like that, and you do that sort of thing and it's so exciting. Well, guess what? Christmas is every day. You get up every morning and you realize that there is the most marvelous gift you can possibly ever imagine. Your God, has given you eternal life. Your God has saved you. Your God does not remember your sins nor your iniquities. Your God has washed you and cleansed you in the blood of his Son. He has made you pure and holy in his sight so that you can get up in the morning and enjoy it. You can get up in the morning and enjoy your coffee. You can get up in the morning and enjoy what you have to do. You can get up in the morning and enjoy it because your God has taken up your part and your God isn't going back. He's not withdrawing it. He has given us this gift so that we would live in it. We would live in it. And yes, that is the answer. It is okay to smile in church. It's okay. It's okay. It doesn't break your face. You're not going to get home and one day think that, oh man, I can't smile that much in church because, you know, church people shouldn't really smile. You know, that's not a really good thing. We want people to know that we're serious about this. Well, we need to be serious about it. But we need to have joy. The joy needs to pierce us at every moment. We need to understand the glory of the Lord. Do you smile when those kids read their parts? I do. I think it's great when they've got to read those place names and stuff like that. I love that in Bible study when people have to do that. You know, maybe I'm sick, but I think it's just hilarious. Don't you enjoy that? Isn't that okay to enjoy that? Yeah, I think it is.
What about when I do the announcements, Jay?
What's that?
What about when I struggle with the announcements?
That's hilarious. That's one of the reasons why I wear the mask.
It brings us joy, Jay.
That's right. Yeah, it's okay to have that kind of joy, too. And this is really the thing. Now we're being like St. Chrysostom. St. Chrysostom used to have open-air church. I love that. I love that. I love that idea. I hate this thing of getting up here delivering lectures. I can't stand that. That's what I got to do for a living, you know. I got to deliver lectures. St. Chrysostom used to come into the agora. He used to rope off part of the market in Constantinople. He would just rope off part of it. And then he'd start a church service. He'd just walk in there, rope off a part of the market, and start a church service. And everybody that was in there, guess what? They were all going to church. You know, they're all walking around looking for their chickens and stuff like that, you know. And there's St. Chrysostom up there having church. Because that's the way church should be. It should be part of our everydayness. It's not supposed to be some remote activity. And what's great is St. Chrysostom would get heckled. So there's a heckler up there. You know? So St. Chrysostom would get heckled. And we know from the transcripts of his sermons that he would answer the hecklers. He would actually answer them. He'd stop the sermon, you know, and he'd start talking to them. You know, he'd just talk to them. I don't know how we ever got to making church so formal, but I wish we would have stopped it a long time ago. The reality of things is that the church should be a place of joy. Our salvation is a matter of joy. The peace of God should fill our hearts with such joy that day in and day out, we just show it. We're happy. You know, there was a song a long time ago, Shining Happy People. You know, that we should be shining happy people. That the reality should be that we would understand this confidence that we have. Confidence, confidence, confidence. I remember watching my players walk off the court when they won a match that they didn't think they could win. Man, that's a great feeling. They walk off the court, they got this big smile on their face. They're sitting there telling me, thank you, thank you, thank you, you know, for helping me through that and things like that. And I tell them, don't thank me, you did it. You know, they won't let me play for you. You know, you have to do it. The reality of things is that's the way it should be every day for us. The victory has been won. The Christ child gave it to us. We live and walk in newness of life. And we are justified by faith. May God grant us that grace as we go through this season and day in and day out as we live this reality that each of us realizes we're just like these little kids. We get up here in the sight of God and God sees us and he enjoys us because he loves us. So he saved us so that we would live with him for eternity in the pageant that goes on forever. The pageant of praise. So enjoy the rest of Advent. And understand confidently that Jesus is coming for you. Not in a bad way. He's coming in a very good way. Because he saved you. And he's coming to take you home. And when you get up on Christmas, you realize very clearly the gift has been given. The price has been paid. And enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy your salvation. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we do thank you for this gift. The gift that keeps on giving. The reality, the joy, the finished work of Jesus the Christ. The promise given us. In the child who appears, God in flesh, the fullness of the deity, dwelling bodily, who rises from the dead, and by his grace takes us with him. We pray, Father, that you would sanctify that truth to our hearts. Enable us, Father, to do that which seems to be impossible, to be joyful people, to show joy. But that peace, Father, that passes all understanding would fill our hearts. And that in every way, Father, we would acknowledge you as Lord until that day when faith becomes sight. And we see you in the fullness of your glory. All these things, Father, we do ask for Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.